Welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Today we are joined by the chair of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Nepney, Glenn Roundsville, our youth pastor, and Dave Valerio, our musical director. Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Amen. Lord, as we worship today, we ask that you put a new song in our mouths, put a new joy in our hearts, put a new confidence in our wills, put your truth in our minds, and grant us a determined spirit to do what you ask of us. We ask these things as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. I know that we had a mission moment last week about Haiti with Martha, but I've asked Gil if he would also do a mission moment today to give us a little recap of everything that's been going on.
Okay, pleased to do that this morning. Also thankful for all the information that Kathy puts in the emails each week, because it gives you all the detail right there that also shows up in the triad. But this is the last Sunday of August, so we encourage you, if you haven't given a gift to Scripture Union, that you'll pray about that, think about that. We've received about $225 up through last summer for their ministry. So just give that some thought and prayer. And once again, our plan for the summer has worked well. We continued last Sunday. We got another gift for $50 towards the backpack project in July. So again, we're just grateful to everyone that's contributing. And just a reminder to the mission committee, we do resume our Zoom meetings this Thursday at 7 o'clock. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Gil. This is the time we share some announcements. There's going to be a meeting of the Executive Council this Tuesday, August 31st, not on a Wednesday. We've changed it to accommodate some schedules. And that will be held via Zoom. So if you are on the Executive Council, please plan to attend. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to make? Please feel free to unmute yourselves and share those announcements. If not, then Dave, I'm going to ask you to introduce the music for this morning.
Yes, good morning, everybody. The opening hymn, which Sherilyn played so beautifully on trumpet, was Come Ye Thankful People. And I appreciate her doing that. The hymn that we're going to sing today is a popular one everyone likes. It's number 145, if you have a hymnal at home. It is Morning Has Broken. And we'll do all three verses of Morning Has Broken, number 145, or you can check the chat button, click on it, and Sherilyn has just popped up the lyrics. So let's all sing together, Morning Has Broken.
Thank you, Mr. Dave. This is the time we share our celebrations. I just heard one before the service today that Sally and Amos Robinson welcomed their first grandchild 2 weeks ago. So congratulations, and we share that celebration with you. How about anyone else? Since I've been away, I'm not aware of any other celebrations, so speak up. Madison.
Celebration. So this Saturday, my aunt and me from Texas is coming up.
Nice. It'll be good to see family. Any other celebrations?
Mr. Dave, didn't you celebrate something this week? Is that possible?
I did that I'm trying to forget about.
Must be a birthday.
You had another 39th birthday.
Yes, I had my 62nd birthday on Thursday, on the 26th.
Oh, you're just a kid, Dave.
which is also Women's Suffrage Day, if you know what that is.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed.
It's a historical date. My mother always told me it was because I was born, that it's Women's Suffrage Day.
And she was suffering. Yeah.
You know what? You know what the actual word suffrage is, comes from? It means ballot. What? It means ballot. So voting.
Voting.
For voting. Yeah. A ballot for voting. So it really wasn't what your mother thought it was.
No, it was. They saw him and said, well, the women better take charge here a little bit.
Yes, thank you. I celebrated my birthday. It was great.
I keep saying
Richard has the same day birthday as Mr. Dave.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you, Richard. And happy birthday, Mr. Dave. Many, many happy returns to the day. Absolutely.
Harry's birthday is on Tuesday.
Oh, happy birthday to you too, Harry. 65. Huh?
65.
Oh, don't give away secrets, Jack.
I tease him about it.
Yeah.
You're catching up to me.
Yeah, well, you know, some people will never get caught up to us, Jack. Yep. Absolutely. Any other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family, and they are many. We continue to pray for Tom, who is Rich Goss's brother, for Cher. Sue is not doing well. Sue Winship is really not doing particularly well. She is currently at Brigham and Women's in Boston, and I'm waiting to hear from the family to find out what's going on there. We pray for Bob Avoyan's sister, Marge, for Jennifer, for Len, who is at home in hospice care, and his wife, Nancy, who is right there with him. We pray for Lee, Tyson Bowles' sister, for Marie, for Ed and Janet Dyer, for Martha McCatton's grandson, Ben, who is in physical therapy, but I am hearing that he's doing a little bit better, but it was following the amputation of his arm. So our thoughts and prayers are especially with him. We pray for Loretta, for AJ from Bishop Feehan, the hockey player. For those in the nursing homes, we think of Jackie Glass and Carolyn Farrell and Doris Brunel, as well as Bob Krajewski, who is the brother-in-law of Kathy Trowbridge. And we pray for so many things this morning, for the people of Afghanistan, for all of the military, for the Americans and our allies who still remain there, for those who were killed in that terrible terrorist attack. We pray for the victims of natural disasters, including Haiti following their earthquake, and our neighbors to the south who are in the path of a very serious hurricane this weekend, Hurricane Ida. We pray for all of those who suffer from addictions. And of course, we continue to pray for an end to this pandemic. We pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the well-being of our nation. We pray for our communities. So please join with me in prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Sovereign God, loving God, we pray that you would help us to liberate all people who live in oppression. It seeks to enforce obedience that is due really only to you. Free those who are in prison for living and speaking the truth. Free us from addictions that destroy the body and cloud our judgment. Aid those who seek to end the traffic of illegal drugs which endanger each and every one of us and our society. Save us from the greed that consumes more than our share of the earth's resources, which diminishes our brothers and sisters who already live in poverty. Give wisdom, patience, and perseverance to those who give aid in the fight against illnesses of body and mind. Help us as we grapple with this pandemic that still surrounds us. We pray for exhausted workers, people who are suffering because of the isolation, and those who have contracted COVID, and especially those who have lost loved ones during this time. Give us courage to speak out against injustice wherever we see it, whether it be in North Attleboro, our state, our nation, or the world. We pray for the world as we pray for one another here in our church family. We pray that you would heal those who are ill, those in hospitals, nursing homes, and in care of hospice. If physical healing is not possible, then we pray that their spirits may be made stronger for the journey before them. We pray especially for those whom we have mentioned today and ask that you would be attentive to the names that we now raise up into your presence in this time of silence. God of all times and places, we praise you for all your servants who, having been faithful to you on earth, are now living with you in heaven. Keep us in communion with them until we meet with all your children in the joy of your eternal kingdom. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
For our scripture lesson this week, we move out of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which we've been reading from the last couple weeks, that took place 60 AD. And we go back 1,000 years to the time of King Solomon early in his life. And this is a vision that God shared some wisdom with Solomon. I'll be reading from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Please hear these words. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown great and steadfast love to thy servant David, my father, because he walked before thee in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward thee. And thou hast kept for him this great and steadfast love, and hast given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, whom thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, thy great people?" May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. The greatest king that Israel had ever known in its long history was King David. He lived a very long life and died at a very old age. But there had been all sorts of scheming within his family to be the next king after him. Adonijah, the next in line, his oldest surviving son, declared himself king before David had even died. But then the prophet Nathan schemed with Bathsheba, David's favorite wife, to place her young son Solomon on the throne, as David had promised earlier. So Nathan anoints Solomon as king, and Adonijah has to withdraw from that particular election, which of course was not an election at all, but was the choice of the reigning king. We're told in 1 Kings that Solomon loved the Lord and walked in the statutes of his father David. He went to the high places. Those were the mountains, because that's where the Hebrews felt they could be closer to God. He went there to offer animal sacrifices, because there was not yet any temple in Jerusalem where it became the custom to do those kinds of sacrifices, because God had not allowed David to build one, something he really dearly wanted to do, but he was forbidden to do that because of his dalliance with Bathsheba, his favorite wife, and being an accomplice in the murder of her husband so that he might marry her. Solomon's favorite place to worship was at Gibeon, which was about 6 miles northwest of Jerusalem. One time after making his sacrifices at Gibeon, we're told that God came to Solomon in a dream at night. And God asked Solomon to ask for whatever God would give him. Sounds kind of like the stories of genies in bottles, doesn't it? Offering 1 to 3 wishes to the person who found or bought the bottle in which the genie lived. We even have a similar custom in our own lives in our enlightened era, don't we? Out comes the birthday cake, as Dave knew last week, apparently. And it doesn't take very long before we're told, blow out the candles, blow out the candles. But what are we supposed to do first? Make a wish. And that's the last thing we hear before we blow out those candles. Do we ever really give any thought to that wish? the way Solomon did? Solomon claims to be but a little child. He probably meant to be understood as being in humility in the presence of God. We think he was probably about 20 years of age. Facing the fact of leading a nation, he admits he doesn't know up from down or right from left. Instead of asking for riches or a long life, Solomon asks for an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. We're told that God was pleased that Solomon had asked for this and granted that wish. And further, God says that since Solomon had not asked for the usual things for himself, God would grant him riches and honor beyond belief and also have a long life. If you went to Sunday school, you must remember the wonderful story of Solomon's judgment between two women. Each had given birth and one baby had died, and now both were claiming the living child. So Solomon did something very strange to us. He called for a swordsman to come and told his soldier to divide the child in two and give each woman half. One mother said, yeah, divide it. It shouldn't be either yours nor mine. But the other mother said, no, Lord, give it to her. Do not slay it. And of course, Solomon knew which mother was the real mother of this living child. And so he gave the child to her. And all Israel heard about this judgment, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that God's own wisdom was in him. Solomon became known far and wide for his wisdom. In the Old Testament, the path to the good life was called wisdom. Later parts of the Old Testament, and particularly the book of Proverbs, give high tribute to this virtue of having wisdom. We usually associate the Greeks with the love of wisdom and knowledge, but the Hebrews prized wisdom as well, along with many other culturally advanced peoples. How are we doing as culturally advanced people in the wisdom area? Gurus come along and tell us what is necessary to have a happy life. Do we agree with Solomon that wisdom is what we need most? Not everyone would agree to that. Karl Marx, for example, claimed that humanity's deepest need for happiness was in the possession of things, goods, and economic equality. And indeed, this is a need of humankind, for we must have bread to live, a roof over our heads, and a way to support our families. Sigmund Freud suggested that human happiness was in terms of physical human love, and that fulfillment drove the human creature the most in order to attain that kind of love. But without wisdom, we can reap dissipation, debauchery, and death. St. Paul urges us to be wise in our love. He says, your love may abound more and more with the knowledge and all discernment. Discernment is just another word for wisdom. Robert Schuller wrote a book, Self-Esteem, in which he claims that our deepest need is pride in terms of our own self-esteem, self-worth, and self-appreciation. He says that our deepest need is pride in being human. Don't worry about humility, he said. It is pride that we need. Don't be too humble. Well, I would suggest that Jesus was the very role for humility. Along with wisdom, we need humility. The lack of humility leads us to Alfred Adler, who took the position that humanity's most basic need is power. He claimed that human behavior is determined by our pursuit of power. It is what motivates many to seek positions of power in business and in politics. Have you ever wondered why millionaires seek public office and take on the slings and outrageous things that happen to them in a campaign and suffer the abuse of negative criticism after being elected? As a millionaire, the candidate could be living with the leisure class and enjoying the jet set. Is not the answer the desire and the need to have power? I don't know about you, but I believe this pandemic is being prolonged by people who are seeking power and who have never sought wisdom. Power without wisdom can be deadly, as we are seeing every day. Without wisdom, power can be misused for destruction and death. What is wisdom anyway? Perhaps we can answer that question by seeing what wisdom is not. Wisdom is not native intelligence. Each of us is born with a certain amount of gray matter. And it doesn't matter how smart we are or how bad we think of ourselves, how badly we think of ourselves. It's certainly not with being well-educated. Some of the smartest, most educated people that I know lack common sense. If wisdom is not that, what is it then? There are some of the component elements of wisdom that I would like to talk about. Wisdom is the ability to make good judgments and the right decisions. Some of us are reluctant to make decisions at all because we fear that the decision will be wrong. Reinhold Niebuhr asked for wisdom in that little prayer that has become a classic and is used by Alcoholics Anonymous at every meeting. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Even in Solomon, we see the chief limitation of wisdom as the key to the good life. No person or people is perfect in its wisdom. Certainly, Solomon still made mistakes. He made several grievous errors as the leader of his people. One thing, he married 900 wives. Now, that might simply seem like too much of a good thing, but it was much more than that, because each of his wives brought into Solomon's kingdom her own gods. And soon, the land that had been devoted to the worship and rule of one god, especially by his father, King David, was filled with pagan temples. Not long after Solomon's death, his nation, which had once been so prosperous, lay in ruins. But that's a story for another time. We learn from Solomon the incredible gift of wisdom and its limitations. We still revere and appreciate wisdom to this day. I ran across these words of wisdom that a man compiled from his mother's letters following her death. And boy, they sound like my mother's sayings too. She had written this: nothing improves with age. Boy, am I learning that. Don't mess with people who do crossword puzzles in ink. Yeah, you're going to lose any argument with that person. Don't eat anything you cannot pronounce. When a doctor wants to be paid in advance, get ready for bad news. And a warning to our own congregational polity: the best way to ruin a perfectly good idea is to appoint a committee to study it. We are very much guilty of that in our denomination. And then this one, which I think says a lot to me, where we are today: the middle of the road is always crowded. That might have been true in her day and age, but it seems to me that these days seem to be more crowded way on the left and way on the right sides beyond that road. And the middle has become abandoned. And that's my political statement of the day. To these, I would add one of my own. In North Attleboro, never speak ill of anyone. You're probably speaking to a relative. King Solomon might have asked for riches or honor or military victories. Instead, he asked for wisdom and knowledge. May we show the same humility as we approach God this day. May we be granted the wisdom to understand the grace of God. We do not share this world because we have earned it. Oh, no. But because Jesus Christ has earned that grace for us and is freely given to all who will accept it. May we be a church guided by wisdom. Amen.
Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing respect and compassion. Be passionate about sharing your faith, be enthusiastic in spirit, serve the Lord always. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
This ends our service, and feel free to unmute yourselves and become a part of our virtual coffee hour. Or go get some coffee if you wish.